Find more State House coverage at sdpb.org.
If I could have the secretary call the roll, please.
Senator Adelstein, Senator Howey, Senator Gerstad,
here.
Senator Maher,
here.
Senator Merchant,
here.
Senator Nelson,
here.
Senator Peterson,
here.
Senator Frisley,
here.
Senator Hansen,
here.
Quorum.
Okay, we do have a quorum. Could there be a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting?
So moved.
Moved by Senator Merchant, second by Senator Nelson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Once again, we have a very short agenda today, although it may not be as short as what it appears. Those of you who wish to testify, please sign the sign-up sheet at the door so we can be sure to get your name spelled right in the record book. And we'd like it if your cell phone didn't go off during this important work. And one other thing, be sure as you speak that you are speaking right into the microphone. I was trying to listen to a couple pieces of testimony last night, and I don't know for sure if that mic is not as sensitive as what it could be or whatever, but for all of this technology to have value to the people out there in the, who have only access to through the internet, it's important that they be able to hear what's going on. And I also look to that a great deal, going back and listening to testimony. What we're going to do is once again take testimony on Senate Bill 43. As you will recall, Friday we had proponent testimony, opponent testimony. In both cases, fairly sufficient and all-inclusive. And I wanted to hold the bill over the weekend so that there would very well be some additional opportunity for people to understand what this bill is proposing to do. And so we've done that. We will this morning have some more proponent testimony, some opponent testimony, and then we will discuss the bill from the committee standpoint, as well as ask questions. So with that in mind, is there further proponent testimony that you would like to offer? And I guess in all fairness to you and to the people on the committee, I don't want you to completely replow all the ground that you did the other day in both sides of the issue, but just kind of summarize and review the issue and bring us back to speed. So proponents for Senate Bill 43? Anybody further? Department of Revenue like to, or would you prefer to just wait and do some rebuttal at the end? Okay. Seeing no other proponent testimony, are there opponents that would like to speak to Senate Bill 43? And again, I would kind of admonish you to not do a lot of replowing, but if you'd like to kind of summarize and bring us up to speed on the things that we should be remembering from last week, you may do so.
I think we're on there. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Chuck Schroyer. I'm an attorney here in Pierre, and I'm appearing on behalf of the South Dakota Alliance of YMCAs here today. They are a consortium of all the Y organizations in the state of South Dakota, and they're, of course, affiliated with the National YMCA. There's a couple items that I think weren't mentioned during the last hearing that I think should be brought to the attention of this committee. First of all, there's only two states, as I understand it, that currently tax the memberships of nonprofit organizations. That's Ohio and Idaho. Those are the only two. I'm told also that when you look at the major groups that this bill attempts to remove the exemption from, they're all under the major group heading 86, which is called membership organizations. Now, they've picked all of those groups out of that membership or major group number, with the exception of two other types of organizations which are not included, and that would be political organizations and religious organizations. And I think if we're going to be casting the net here to start taxing memberships. It's entirely inappropriate that some organizations, because they happen to be religious in character, 501c3s, for instance, or they happen to be youth-oriented like the YMCA's 501c3, that they're going to be treated differently if this bill passes, because their memberships will be taxed and those of religious and political organizations will not. The last thing I'd like to mention is that most of these organizations, well, first of all, I think all of you in this committee are here because you're leaders in your community, and I have to bet that every one of you has served on the board of some nonprofit organization. And I can tell you that I've done a lot of them, and I've never served on one yet that had too much money. There was always a money problem. And so this is going to be a major problem for many organizations if it were to pass. I think that if you are thinking about passing it, it should be amended so that it doesn't take effect right away. Most organizations hire, or they have their dues on a calendar year basis. They've already received their dues. They can't raise those, and it wouldn't affect them necessarily, but it would be a big budget matter for them if they have to plan on paying this and haven't really had a chance to consider that as how, what the effect of that might have on the numbers of memberships they'll sell and the costs that they'll have to comply with the law. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Schreier. Further opponents to Senate Bill 43?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Mike Held, South Dakota Farm Bureau, registered lobbyist and exec. After I listened to the testimony last Friday and the explanation of the amendment on membership dues, I'd like to take a minute or two and just share with you how I see this affecting the Farm Bureau. We have 45 county farm bureaus across the state. Each one of them has a volunteer treasurer, no compensation, remuneration, or anything like that. But they actually cover 57 counties. Several of those have two counties, and we have two county farm bureaus that encompass three counties. The explanation that the tax is going to be applied where the check is written gave me some hesitation as I thought about that. First of all, these volunteer treasurers are the most time-consuming job we have at the county level because you have to record and receipt the members' dues and send them a membership card and transmit the portion of the dues in the county farm bureau treasury. Then the members' portion of the dues that applies at the state level is remitted onto us, as well as the portion of the dues that is sent on to the American Farm Bureau, because when the member joins a county farm bureau, he joins all three levels of the organization. Let me just take that then to one county, my home county, Beadle County. Some of our members, a lot of our members, live in the rural areas and on the farm, and it's quite easy to figure out that of our 9,400 families that belonged last year, a lot of them will, the 4% rate will be applied. But also, like in Beadle County, there are some ag businesses, there are some individuals that decide to support the Farm Bureau that live in the city of Huron, and then it becomes obvious that their tax rate would be 6%, not 4%. Then some live in the small towns, and I didn't take the time to look at what Iroquois, Alpena, Woolsey, Wessington, and all the other small towns. But the message I'm trying to create here, I think it would be a bookkeeping and accounting nightmare, or at least a very difficult task for those volunteers to keep track of all this, make sure they have the adequate records to back up what they've done, make sure they're in compliance with this. So I think it places a burden on those in addition to the amount of dollars that would be collected on 9,400 families. Lastly, we belong to the Ag Unity Group, and the chairman, Brenda Foreman, asked me to mention that those 23 groups last week voted that they are opposed to Senate Bill 43 and the amendment as it applies to membership dues. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Further opponents to Senate Bill 43?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Johnny Kirstein's lobbyist for the South Dakota Farmers Union. We also oppose this bill for the reasons that Mr. Held stated. As well, I think it starts us down a slippery slope. It's going to destroy your hometown rodeos that rely on this one time a year event to happen. Fideza 76 Rodeo is a larger rodeo in South Dakota in Deadwood, and they estimate that it's going to cost them $3,600 off the top, and that harms their rodeo significantly. I do not represent South Dakota sheep growers, but they asked me to support their or show their opposition to this as well today. And that's all I had. Thank you.
Thank you. Further opponents to Senate Bill 43. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Ron Boyd. I'm from Watertown, South Dakota. Currently serve as state adjutant for the South Dakota American Legion, and I'm a registered lobbyist for that organization. I agree with the last two individuals who testified here about the concerns that we have. Putting the tax at the point where the membership dues are paid is really an imposition, a hardship on the American Legion posts. We have 250 of them located across the state of South Dakota. And like other organizations that have testified, ours is a three-tiered membership dues where the post keeps a very small portion of that dues. A portion of it goes on to state headquarters in Watertown, where I operate out of, and another portion goes to our national organization in Indianapolis, Indiana. And it would definitely be a hardship for the posts with the small amount of the dues amount that they collect that they would have to pay the taxes on the entire amount. We are a veteran service organization founded on the premise of the principle that continued service within our community, state, and nation. And I guess I would like to remind you that, like other membership organizations, nonprofit organizations in your community, civic and fraternal organizations, we do a lot of things in the communities across South Dakota. And I guess I would just like to remind you to think about the youth of the state of South Dakota that have been benefited from Boys and Girls State. Think about the scholarships that the veteran service organizations have given out in our communities. Think about the other things that we do in those communities, the citizenship and flag training that we give to the youth of the state, and the veteran funerals. If you've attended a veteran's funeral lately, there's always a group of veterans out there from either the Legion or the VFW to provide those last final military rites to those war heroes as they depart. So I would just ask you to keep those types of service and think carefully about whether the revenue raised would outweigh the contributions that you see to the communities across the state by these volunteer organizations. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Boyd. Further opponents to Senate Bill 43? Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Gary Knutson. I'm a registered lobbyist for the Veterans of Foreign Wars. And what Ron Boyd said, ditto. We provide a service to our community, our state, and our nation. And it would be an undue hardship for us to have to pay this tax. I thank you.
Thank you. Further opponents to Senate Bill 43? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Joe Kralchik. I'm a registered lobbyist for the Maintenance Away Division of the Teamsters. We build and repair and maintain railroads. I'm not going to repeat what everybody else has said, but I think that it's pretty clear that the arguments against this bill as amended are, one is complexity, one is sort of a cost-benefit ratio, and then the third is the social policy aspect of it. I belong to a local in headquartered in Sioux Falls, and we have members we're mostly from South Dakota or Iowa, but we have some members from Minnesota and a couple guys from Nebraska, and that's repeated often in our local system. There's another local in Aberdeen, has some guys from North Dakota, one in the Rapid City area now merged with the one in Lusk, Wyoming. Also, we have a three or actually a four-level system like many of the other organizations. Ours is local system, which is BNSF employees from western Wisconsin to the state of Washington. And then all these systems together form the National Division, which recently merged with the Teamsters. So this accounting is really going to be a mess. And the only person really that I feel more sorry for than than the people in our headquarters in Minneapolis or the division in Detroit or Brent Saylor from Gerritsen, who's my local secretary treasurer and does a fine job and gets paid no money for it. The person I think I feel more sorry for is that man or woman in revenue that is going to have put out this pamphlet that says what this new law means to you and send it to people like Brent and then be deluged with mail and phone calls saying, well, we're a little different, so what applies? I think that, and here we get to the cost-benefit thing, I think that for many organizations, the cost of compliance will probably end up being a lot more than they'll actually remit to the state. And I have no idea what the cost of education and enforcement will be on the part of the state, but it's got to be fairly substantial when you have all these people like me testifying how complex it will be on the local level. And I've sort of half-jokingly said that this is some sort of a plot, that it's a massive transfer of wealth from civic-minded individuals to accountants. And it's half-true because of the civic-minded individual part. A lot of people have mentioned that the same people that do your church bazaar, you see them at the Arts Council, and you see them at the Elks, and you see them at the legislative coffees that you folks hold on the weekends. And, you know, these people are going to get taxed several times over, especially in these tough times. It's especially bad to essentially discourage the sort of civic involvement that we need to pull our communities together. So I wish that I had some kind of a suggestion or an answer to fix this thing, but really it's mind-numbingly complex. I'm not sure how it all plays out in terms of cost-benefit, especially when you figure the benefit of the social activity and the philanthropic activity that many of our organizations are involved in. So I hope you reject this. Thank you.
Thank you. Further opponents to Senate Bill 43? Further opponents to Senate Bill 43? Seeing none, would the proponents like to take a moment or two to do some rebuttal?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Paul Kinsman, Secretary of Revenue and Regulation. Just to address some of the issues, you know, we understand that many of these organizations have significant societal value. They do good things. That's really not the issue. The issue that we were trying to solve is one of budget and one of where could we go and administer a tax where there's currently an exemption. You know, the policy decision as to whether or not you tax membership organizations is one that clearly falls within the legislative authority and prerogative, and we will tax what the legislature mandates that we do. This was an area that we thought that there was some significant dollars that we could administer. In terms of where the person lives, the department has a website that you can literally type in anybody's address, and it will tell you the tax rate that's due. So is that cumbersome? Yeah, it probably is. Are there going to be situations where somebody pays 4% because they live out in the country and 6% because they live in town? Yep. That's the way it is now. If I buy something in Huron versus have something delivered outside of Huron, it's 4% versus 6%. So that's the way it's done today. Is this something that we can explain? Is it something that we can administer? We believe that it is. I mean, nothing that revenue does isn't hard. And so we try not to just say it's too difficult. There are certain situations where there are significant problems in terms of administration. We believe that we can administer this particular exemption if you choose to remove it. You know, in the end, we've tried to provide some solutions for the budget year that we're in right now and the next budget year. If you choose not to accept those solutions, that's certainly fine. I would encourage you, if we're not going to do this, we're going to have to come up with the money somewhere. You know, that's kind of a Jason Dilges argument, but I know from my perspective, we've brought a number of bills before you as opportunities for you to look at, and you're certainly free to do what you want with them. None of the groups that we've talked about are groups that don't do good things. I mean, I really hope that you understand that we're not trying to select a group of folks out here that we somehow are lesser citizens. In fact, the group that are here, you know, they do scholarships, they do a lot of public service. But this was an area that I think was fairly identifiable. And it was an area that is currently exempt from taxation. And frankly, the policy is up to you as to whether or not you want to tax that. And we believe that we can administer this. With that, then, Mr. Chair, I would go ahead and answer any questions if you have them.
Okay, we will open the hearing to questions from the committee. Does anyone on the committee have, remember we had some questions from both proponents and opponents when we took testimony last Friday, and if there's anything that anyone on the committee, Senator Gerstad.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Kinsman, a question for you, sir. Last week you handed out a list of organizations that are exempt from the present tax.
Correct.
And what I would really appreciate, and I think we asked for it last week, is even a ballpark figure of how much money could be raised from unexempting, if you will, the number of organizations. There were a great many of them, as I recall. I feel like I don't have the information, the big picture to work with. I mean, I can listen to the testimony about the specific tax, but there's so many other entities that are exempted, and it almost feels incomplete to zero in on one without having the big picture.
Mr. Chairman?
Sir.
We are working on that, obviously. We haven't had a lot of time to throw all of the exemptions together. And I would like to give you that number, and I would like you to be able to say with at least some comfort level that that's the number that we're talking about, understanding that even that number is going to be suspect. But we are working on that number, and we intend to give it to the committee. That's something that I believe Senator Howey specifically mentioned, and I committed that that's what we would do, and we're certainly working on it. I will get you that number as soon as we can.
Further questions? Any further questions for either Secretary Kinsman or any of the opponents? Well, seeing none, we will close to committee action, and I will tell you right now that I plan to hold this bill, and we will take action on the whole bill at a later time. But prior to that, I believe that we should act on the amendment that has been offered to, in effect, provide the courtesy to the sponsor of the bill, the Department of Revenue, to put it into the form that they prefer. And I say that for two reasons, not only as a courtesy to the department, but also
this is an area that does touch the lives of a lot of people around the state, and they have every right to know what is happening. And right now, when they pull Senate Bill 43 up on the internet, all they see are the portions dealing with sports officials and rodeos. And so in order to put that into complete form for the benefit of those who have every right to know what's happening, we should approve the amendment that's been offered. So is there a motion to do so?
Mr. Chairman,
Senator
I move for Amendment 43FB.
Okay, is there a second? Okay, moved by Senator Nelson, seconded by Senator Frisley. Any speaking to the motion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The Senate Bill 43 is amended. And with that in mind, we will hold the bill, and we will take action on this at a later time, in part to be able to provide the time for the department to be able to furnish us with some numbers as to the effect. And we have you know, we have the privilege of some time, so we'll do that. This is the only piece of legislation that we have on this morning's agenda, so I believe that a motion to adjourn would be in order.
So
moved by Senator Merchant, seconded by Senator Gerstad. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.